This is the Jain Meditation International Center and promoter, Teacher Bhanu, giving this meditation class on March 19, 2003 in New York City.
Dear friends, namaste to everyone. Human life, and indeed all life, is dominated by suffering. And the suffering is caused by craving, greed, attachment, and desires that will never be satisfied. Today we all are seeing that this country and the rest of the world is sad and miserable, and there seems to be a crisis of character, morality, and human dignity. Unarrestable erosion of these human values are being seen in the governmental institutions, politics, and many, many social activities. And we are wondering why this darkness is descending on the country. So in this transient world, we are trying to capture and understand the intransient nature of the self. Because everything is shifting, everything is moving. But there is something that is permanent and stays forever. So there are four questions that humans have wrestled with through time. Four questions. And many of us have these questions. The first one is, who am I? The second question is, where did I come from? The third one is, where am I going? And the fourth one is, what is God? These questions come to our mind. And when we begin to question these questions, that is the beginning of our spiritual search. A journey to the basic intrinsic worth that we are. Something that we are. It's a journey. If we ask these questions, we are on a spiritual search. And the realization of the answers to these questions is the continuation of spirituality. Freedom to be forever. Quest for immortality. These questions do come in our mind and make us restless sometimes. But before we can answer these questions, human mind is such that it is fighting between two polarities. The two polarities are the material and the spirit. The good and the bad. The negative and the positive. Happiness, unhappiness. Action, non-action. Darkness and light. Constantly, we are fighting between these two polarities. And as we all know, there is a lot of push and pull that we go through. And there is more pull towards the material aspect of the world and less towards the spiritual one. But at this time, when we are going through such a difficult period, how do we face this? How do we understand what is our role in such a situation? It is because of the faith in the existence of the divinity within. It is because of the faith that man is potentially divine that keeps us straight on the path and that keeps us unwavering from the path and face the situation. The philosopher Rabbi Hillel has very well shown us the three development stages of our mind that one goes through. The first one is, he says, is the primitive mind. The mind which is very primitive does not have any education. It's not civilized. It's the primitive mind. How does it think? The primitive mind thinks that if I am not for myself, who will be for me? If I am not for myself, who will be for me? So we think only for ourselves. We will think that in the period of crisis, let us accumulate and keep things for us so we should not fall short of that. Usually that's what happens in war, the people hoard things. They collect out of the fear of insecurity, out of the fear of not having enough when we want it, out of greed, out of attachment. So the only focus is me. It's a very primitive way of thinking. It's me. It's for myself. It's only I am the most important person. So if I'm not for myself, who will be for me? That's the primitive question comes to us first. So I want to protect my ego, my greed, my need, and build a castle around me and separate myself from the rest of the world. But when we come out of our primitive attitude and nature, we become little more civilized. So the mind is developed, and then the second question comes. If I am for myself alone, what am I? Now we are coming out of our narrowness, narrow self, and thinking of others. But if I am for myself alone, what am I? So then we like to share with others. We like to share others' pain. We like to share others' pleasure. We like to share things with others. And we become more civilized. But that also, then we feel like doing it. We may not do that every day. It may not be there in our every action and gesture, but we do it whenever we feel like. So we have come out of our narrow self, from the primitive thinking to civilized way of thinking. But when we become educated, then we have grown spiritually and become more aware of the life around us. We will not wait to do it when we feel like. But we will say, if not now, when? And we start taking the action. We start putting into practice that all life form that I'm surrounded with has the equal right to live as I live. So these vibrations, when we emanate from ourselves and have that reverence for every life form on the earth, we have already created a circle of protection around us. Then there is no fear. There is no insecurity. Because we love each and every life form. There is reverence for that. There is respect for life. And when we give respect, we get respect. When you give love, you get love. And when you get respect, you get love. There's no fear of death. Because death will not touch those people who have not harmed any living form. Who have protected the small brothers and sisters. Who have taken care of them mentally, sometimes physically, sometimes verbally, for speaking for them. So when we have faith that I am that entity that loves to be happy, that same entity is in every life form that loves to be happy. As I don't like to be hurt, I don't like to be part of any misery, the life form does not want to be part of any misery or hurt. So I want to live in the world in such a way that my existence will create the least disturbance to any life form. When we send these kind of vibrations out in the universe, it creates waves and ripples, and waves and ripples slowly, slowly reach the other side of the shore. And we get those vibrations back. And those vibrations of love, compassion, emptiness, they come and touch us. And when they touch us, that there is no room for fear. There is no room for insecurity. There is no room for misery or sadness. Because we cannot change the way people think. The only thing we can do is through our prayers and positive thoughts we can send vibrations. But we cannot change the world. And it is not today. In the history, wars and violence have been going on forever and ever. And yet, people who are walking on the path of non-violence and love and friendship have survived this. They have not been touched. So, when we are convinced about that, we will come to realizing who am I. And this is an age-old question. It is not asked today, a few years ago. It has been since time immemorial, all seekers ask that same question, who am I? Three students went to a teacher. And the teacher was giving his sermon in a remote town. He was a very lovely orator and a true teacher who practiced the teaching he was teaching. So all the big people in the town would never miss his talk. The rich men of the town, the mayor of the town, or a person who was a scholar of the town. No one missed his talk. So once these three young men thought that let us go. We have heard so much about this teacher. Let us go and hear him. But all three had different agendas in their mind, different motive and intention in their mind. But from the outside, they appeared as if they were on a quest, on a search of something. So they went in the audience, sat in front of the whole audience, and listened to the teacher. The sermon got over. Everyone, as a protocol in an Indian tradition, bowed down to the teacher and left, taking the blessings of the teacher. And these three students who were sitting right in front of them, they just sat there. And the teacher had never seen them because they came to the sermon for the first time. So the teacher asked the first young man, what is your name? And he became angry. He was upset. So, without any politeness, without any reverence for the teacher, he got up. And when there is an ego, the style and the gesture of the body, language changes. So he told the teacher, you are asking me, who am I? You are asking me, what is my name? You don't know me? The teacher said, I'm very sorry, but I don't recognize you. So he said, I am the son of the mayor who comes and attends your talk every day, and you don't know who I am? The teacher apologized and said, I'm very sorry, but next time, I will remember who you are. Then he sat down. Then he asked the second one, but who are you? What is your name? He got up and he looked at the teacher and said, "I'm so surprised. My father has donated all the money for this monastery and you don't recognize me." What kind of a teacher you are? You have been here for 4 months and you don't even know the history that my father has donated lots of money for building the monastery. You should be knowing your family members. The teacher again apologized. But I'm so sorry, but I will make a point that when you come next time, I will recognize you. Then he asked the third one. The third one got up with such humility, with such gentleness. The first thing he did was to bow to the teacher. And he folded his hands and stood before him. And the teacher asked, "Who are you?" So he said, "Sir, I really don't know who I am. And that is the reason I have come to you. I want to know who am I. And I'm lost. I have been trying to probe to this question and this question for years together. I have not been able to find the answer and no one can give me an answer." The teacher told him to sit down. And after a few moments, he told the other two to leave the room, the audience hall. He said, "You got your answer. I have recognized you, who you are, and that was your motive to come to this talk. So everyone knows that you are the son of this great mayor and son of this great philanthropist who has donated so much money. We all know that. Your objective is taken care of, so you can leave now." He told the third one to stay back. Then he talked to him. When we see the trust in the eyes of the student, the teacher likes to open up. The teacher likes to share and give whatever knowledge the teacher has. So he dotted the student and said, "Let's go." And they walked through the garden. And when they were walking through the garden, they saw the beautiful flowers and trees all blossoming, and everything was so joyful. Then the teacher took the student to the well and asked him to look in the well. So he bent down and was looking in the well, and he saw his reflection. The teacher asked, "What do you see?" He said, "I see my reflection." "Who is seeing your reflection?" "I am seeing my reflection." "So who is that I that is seeing the reflection?" He said, "That the one who sees the reflection is not seen. And the reflection cannot see. The one who sees the reflection is not seen. And what is seen cannot see." So the reflection that you see in the water cannot see you. And you who sees the reflection is not seen. So the seer who sees the reflection is there, yet he is not seen. And oh my son, that is me. That is that light. That is that divinity. That is that spirit that lies within you, that sees things through the doors of the senses. The things that the seer sees cannot see. If I can see the table cannot see me. And whatever we see with our eyes is all material. Whatever I see around me today is all material. Behind the material, there is something that is sentient. That you and I cannot. But we know that when that entity leaves the body, the senses cannot see. Senses cannot see the touch, the taste, the smell, the sight, the sound, all dead. That what leaves the body is you. That which is eternal, beginningless, endless, conscious, pure, knowing, all-knowing, permanent entity. No one can destroy that. It is, this entity is like the sword and the sheath. They both are separate, yet they are together. He says one. Like the oil in the seed, like the yogurt in the milk. But when you separate, they are two separate things. When they are together, we feel it's one. So many times we identify ourselves as body, as matter. Most of the time we identify that I am body, I am matter. And as soon as we identify with our the self with the matter, that's the time the problems start. Because if anything happens to the matter, we think something has happened to me. So when we are a child and someone asks you that who are you, we say that if we ask the child who are you, he'll say I'm a child. But are we not beyond child, beyond woman, beyond man? Because if you are a child, when the child becomes young, what happened? The childhood went away. But that entity that is in the childhood, it still continues when it becomes youth, when it becomes a young man, when it becomes an old man. That entity still continues. That continuity of that entity that never dies, that is immortal. And the teacher told the student, go in the wilderness and meditate upon that. And you will find and you will experience that inner self, that which experiences pleasure and pain, happiness and unhappiness. And who is that experience? That is you. Sometimes we don't accept it because we don't see it. But who has seen the wind? Neither you nor I. But when the trees bow down their heads, we know the wind is passing by. So that pleasure, that joy, that feeling of elation needs to experience. Who is behind that feeling that feels that? Who is behind that unhappiness that feels that unhappiness? That is you. That is Atma. That is Spirit. That is Divinity. That is Self. That is Light. And when we start experiencing that Light and Divinity within ourselves, we will start experiencing that in everyone. And we will start changing the way we look at people, the way we behave with people, the way we, our attitude towards them. And when we change that, we change our inner being. And when the inner being is changed, the outer being automatically changes. So the question is, who am I? You are that permanent, immortal entity. Where did I come from? Where did my journey start? So, he says that as you find the goal together with the cross in the mind, in the same way, the light, the divinity, is found with the cross, all the karmic particles, the cross matter, since time immemorial. Through the process of evolution, suffering, slowly, 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 the life evolves from one sense to two sense, from two sense to three sense, from three sense to four, four to five. So we come to the five sense of human form, which is the best form because we have been endowed with the attribute of thinking. We can think what is good and what is bad. We can separate the negative from the positive. So that capacity of thinking, that capacity to separate the dross from the true element, only the human mind is capable of doing it. And that is why René Descartes said that I am thinking, that is why I am. Because you are thinking, that itself shows that I am. Who is asking this question that who am I? Because if that essence wasn't in the human body, or essence left the body is not going to ask the question, who am I? So the question rises in the mind of that essence. That is me. No one can touch it. No wind can blow it out. No water can wet it. No fire can burn it. No sword can cut it or kill it. That is me. That consciousness resides in every individual. And when we start seeing that consciousness in each and every being, we will respect and revere all the beings. And once that communication of respect starts from ourselves, we earn respect from other life. And we start appreciating and accepting people as they are. We have to understand that each and every life that comes on the universe comes with their own past actions influence. As last time we spoke about three eternal laws, that what we sow, we shall reap. What is new becomes old, and what we don't know, we lose. So what we sow, we reap. So what we have sown in the past, we are reaping the fruits of that seed. So let us accept people as they are, and not to change them. Why is it isn't it so hard for us to change ourselves? How can we change others? So we have to stop changing others. Because the conflicts start from our expectations and by expecting others to change the way we think is right. So let us start that work with ourselves and say, I want to change. Let me change. And when I change, the reality around me changes. Because change is a permanent law. Everything keeps on changing. Everything keeps on changing every moment. What I am right now, I've changed. What you are thinking right now, your thoughts have changed. When you entered here, you were a different person. When you go out, you will be different. You are different every moment. Change is the nature of the law of nature. So let us accept someone as they are right now. Don't make judgments. Don't change them. Don't try to make them like you, because the conflict starts. There is no harmony. There is no music in life, because you don't accept people as they are. So as soon as we know that we are the influence and the outcome of our own actions, so if we don't like ourselves, change our actions. Because what we have done in the past, we can't change. But what we want to be tomorrow, we can change today. And when we change today, tomorrow is going to be beautiful. Tomorrow is going to be very lovely. So at this time, when the world is going through this kind of crisis, what is our contribution and how can we contribute? One of the ways of contributing is sending vibrations of peace. So we are going to meditate on peace. Sending good vibrations, positive, loving vibrations to each and every living being and to the heads of the countries so they can think right. If they cannot think right, at least they will protect those innocent lives who are out there and who do not know what's going to happen to them. So let us close our eyes and relax. And drop all the tension Drop the tension from the shoulders and the neck and relax the eyebrows. and to relax. Let us breathe in gently and then breathe out. Breathe in and gently, slowly breathe out. Let our thoughts settle down and be peaceful. We are surrounded by peaceful people. Let us imagine that we are surrounded by like-minded, peaceful people. And everyone wants peace. And we also want peace. Imagine that there is no heaven above. And no hell below. Only the sky above us. Soft blue sky above us. Imagine that all the people are living for today. There is no yesterday and no tomorrow. Now imagine that there are no countries. Countries that are drawn on the map and paper. Separates one from another. But there are no countries, so there are no barriers, no borders. No lines. Just a beautiful clean world. Imagine that there is no one who kills or dies for, because there are no religions. The only religion, imagine that the only religion is the religion of love and compassion. imagine that there are no possessions. So there is no greed or no evil. Imagine the world full of brotherhood and sisterhood. Everyone living with each other in peace and harmony. Imagine that all the people are sharing the whole world as their own home. Imagine that there is peace everywhere. There's laughter and joy. Everyone is caring and sharing with each other. Peace is everywhere. Peace in the heart, peace in the eyes, peace in the words, the whole being emanates vibrations of peace. Peace comes from the undisturbed and unpolluted self that is pure like a crystal, the crystal that reflects the light from within to without. We are all crystal consciousness. The nature of the consciousness is infinite knowledge, infinite bliss, infinite energy. I am that consciousness. that it filled with bliss. And the nature of the bliss is to emanate peace, serenity, and tranquility. The light of divinity showers on me. The love of divinity enfolds me. The power of divinity protects me. And wherever I go, divinity watches over me. I am ever protected, ever shielded, and ever loved. Imagining things, we create peace around us. Let us feel peace. Thank you. Thank you.